We've got to be ready. The Bible says be ready in season and out. He's coming. Praise God. I feel the anointing already. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's getting hot in here. Would you turn to James, please? Help me, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Something's happening. Dimension shift. You know, remember when the tsunami came? Something happened in the ocean before the wave hit. Hallelujah. It was a shift, wasn't it? It was actually a dimensional shift. Caused the wave to come. It's happening right now. There's a shift in the Spirit causing the glory and the wave of His presence to flow. We're seeing it in other countries more than we are here. And the purpose of that is because, unfortunately, they're more thirsty and hungry than we are. God is reaching the areas where man has not. But there will be a move, and a great move of His Spirit here. It's coming. Because He said before He personally comes, He will move through His body first in a great way. But in this dimensional shift that's happening, it causes this wave to move miraculously. In some areas, it's going to wipe out places where the glory of God is going to hit so hard and so strong. Where Jesus is going to expose Himself and visit individuals in such a mighty way. Places everyone will know or have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everyone in the planet will. Whether believer or non-believer, God will use all of them. Even if somebody's not a believer, he might find himself doing something, expressing or asking or saying something he doesn't even know about. The glory of God, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament when Saul... When the Lord chose Saul, He anointed Saul, He said, go hang around with the prophets. When the Spirit of the Lord come upon you, you'll prophesy with them and you'll become a new man. That's what's going to happen. People are going to just be walking down the street and the glory of God is going to flow. And somebody will be walking by them. Listen, people got healed by the shadow of the disciples. God is preparing His church. He's shaking and cleansing and purifying and removing the blemishes. And He begins to move up in this dimension. And I've shared this over and over and over and over and over, and I've been sharing it for years. Those who are willing to stay on that rock and fight and endure all the way through will be blessed. And those who want to bless themselves will roll off. There's a difference in this dimensional shift. We've got to hold on, no matter what. That's why the Word says in verse 2, read it with me, in James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Come on, aren't you in the Spirit? What's up? Come on, read it with me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience and witness. Hello? Do you understand that? Listen, you've got to go through trials. How do you know? How are you going to know who God is if you don't go through a trial? You won't know His power. You won't know the anointing. You won't know His Word is faithful and true if you don't go through trials. You've got to go through trials. The whole thing is What you do after you go through it? Or what are you doing while you're going through it? Do you run from it? Amen? Or do you endure? Because the word patience is endure as you're going through this trial. He said, count it all joy. That means that you and I have got to make a choice of what kind of attitude we're going to walk in. Amen? Are we going to walk in an attitude of joy, gratefulness, unthankful, bitter, anger, whatever? What is the attitude we're going to walk in? Let me share something with you. Your attitude is going to either draw the presence of God or push it away. Is everybody with me? That's why he says, count it all joy when you fall into the various trials, because you're going to. You've got to. There isn't a person in this room who's not going through a trial. Hello? Amen. If there's someone in this room not going through a trial, let me pray for you. Everybody's going through a trial, and you're going to go through a trial to the day you hit home, because this world ain't nothing but a big trial. Hello? If you're just skimming along, ain't nothing going on with you, you're right. Nothing's going on with you. Hello? There's nothing going on then. Let me tell you, the powers of darkness are going to come against you, and every resistance in any way they can, if your heart is really to serve God. But if your heart is to serve yourself, you're not going to have so much stuff. I'm telling you, look what happened with Jesus. Look at the trials he went through. All of his disciples booked. They all boogied. He was left there all by himself. But he wasn't alone. Amen? He didn't blame his disciples. Oh man, if they would have just stayed with me. You know? And he didn't rebuke him when he ran into him again, when he rose from the dead. He rebuked him and said, about your faith. But he didn't get all over their cases, did he? Where were you when I needed you? Amen? In fact, what did he say? He talked about joy. Jesus had an attitude of gratitude. Jesus had the attitude of joy. Nothing could move him out of that place and position. He was immovable in everything. And that's where you and I have got to have a desire and a goal to get to. It takes practice. Hello? It takes practice. That's why you're going through trials all the time. Because how else are you going to get practice? Unless you go through a trial. Amen? Why? Christ is perfecting himself in you and through you. If he went through the trials, you are too. But you're to count it all joy. Hallelujah. That means that you've got to cop a good attitude during it and through it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 4. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect. And complete, lacking nothing. Why? Because as you keep that attitude of gratitude, you won't lack anything. Remember, your attitude is either going to draw the presence of God or reject it. Is everybody with me? It's either going to draw the presence of God or reject it. Listen, God said, I will never forsake you nor leave you. How many times you all felt that he's left you? And everyone in this room has. Thank God you don't go by your feelings. Hello? Okay. Psalm 103. Oh, glory. Don't mind me if I'm joyful. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and in his presence is fullness of joy. People used to get real upset with me every time. Man, I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'd say, praise God. They want to choke me. Man, this, that, whatever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is that all you can ever say? Praise God. Amen. What else is there to say? Answer the phone. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's the same thing, right? Psalm 103, read it with me, please. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You know, all your soul, that's your mind, will, emotions, and every little nook and cranny of your little flesh. Bless the Lord with all you've got. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. You know, when you're walking, let me share something. As you're blessing God, and your attitude of gratitude is there, and you're drawing the presence of God towards you, you don't forget His benefits. But when you change your attitude and reject, you actually reject. Now, well, I'm not rejecting the presence of God. You are when you choose to make the wrong attitude. You're rejecting His presence. That's when you lose sight of His benefits. Is everybody with me? That's why it says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not His benefits. Because when you're not blessing God, the presence of God isn't there. You got a wrong attitude. You're rejecting His presence, and you're forgetting His benefits. Hello? Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now every one of us needs to have our youth renewed daily. Hallelujah. Well, the only way you're going to do that is by having an attitude of gratitude and blessing the Lord. Why? Let me tell you, His presence will keep you young. Only His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord who's faithful. Amen? Good attitude, because that person is grateful. You know, people who have a bad attitude are ungrateful. I mean, that's truly the bottom line. When you have a bad attitude, you just forget everything that God has done for you, and you got an attitude of ungratefulness. Yeah, but you don't know my situation. Well, you're a little ungrateful little flesh creature. Where were you 4 months ago? Where were you 3 months ago? Who put the clothes on your back? What did you eat today? Who fed you? Are you cold? Are you hot? Are you lacking anything? Hello? Does everybody understand that? That's exactly where the devil wants to get us, into the area where we are ungrateful. A person with a bad attitude is ungrateful. And it has nothing to do with what side of bed you get up out of, how much sleep you've had. Hello? You have the choice to make that attitude of gratitude. Yeah, you may be tired. Okay, no problem. So does it cause you or give you the right to be miserable? No, it doesn't. That's a fable that's been handed down to carnal mankind for years. It has nothing to do with how your attitude is. In fact, sometimes when I find myself more tired, I'm more sensitive to the spirit, because my flesh is kicking and bucking and it's finally stopped. Hello? I find myself, even sometimes when I'm more tired, I'm like floating. And I know that the Spirit is carrying me now. There's sometimes when I'm more tired, I can even hear it better. I'm not trying to tell people to stay up for days or anything like that, all right? I mean, you know, but there's times when it's like, whoa. It's like that second and third wind, that Holy Ghost wind this time, though. It's not the carnal wind. So when you and I are blessing the Lord, all of our soul, we're making the choice of an attitude, good attitude, no matter what's going on with you. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The name of the teaching is called just in case you're interested. The Beatitudes. Now listen, you know why it's Beatitudes? Because it's called Blessed Attitude. Hello. Blessed Attitudes. Ephesians chapter 1. Beatitudes are blessed attitudes. Glory to God. Starting at verse 3, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is what? Blessed what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You know why people aren't walking in all the spiritual blessings? Bad attitude. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should what? We should be what? Holy. Holy. And without blame before him in what? Ooh. I would say that sounds like a good attitude. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Blessed with every spiritual blessing, present and future. Present and future. You know, you and I have access to all the things of heaven. Access granted. Access granted. Good attitude is a grateful person. To be blessed is to have a good attitude. Let me explain something about what the word attitude represents. It's one's disposition. One's disposition or opinion or mental set towards others or even towards themselves. Hello? It's a disposition or an opinion or a mental set towards others or self. You're either grateful or ungrateful. Is everybody with me? You're either grateful or ungrateful. You either have an attitude of gratitude or an attitude of ungratefulness. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Let's go to the blessed attitudes. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. Starting at verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Is everybody there? Everybody there? Read it with me, please. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Keep going. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And he was seated, his disciples came to him. Now listen, unfortunately, they've got all of this stuff in chapters and so forth, because this is actually all one. Okay? And in this, we see that Jesus was going about healing and teaching in the synagogues and so forth. And they were following him. And as they were following him, they were looking for a touch from the Lord. You know what? Those who were following him had good attitudes. Does everybody understand that? Their attitude was, he's the one. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. They followed him from everywhere, no matter what. They heard him. They stayed with him. Even when they were hungry, they didn't leave. They stayed. In fact, then he fed them. They trusted him. They saw signs and wonders. And then he brought them all. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now listen, I want you to be the example of me. He made 8 declarations of blessedness. Is everybody with me? And these 8 declarations of blessedness was a representation of the ideal disciples and their rewards. The ideal disciples and their rewards. And the first one he said was in verse 3, it says, blessed are the pure or poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What was he talking about? The first one is humbleness. Being humble. That's what maintains an attitude of gratitude. You maintain an attitude of humbleness. Now, it's not false humility. It's humble. Hello? There's a difference between false humility and humbleness. They're those who portray it, but when things really begin to happen, they can't endure it. That's false humility. The second one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In other words, this arena here is, they have more concern for others. They become intercessors. They're willing to press in. They put others first before themselves. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of giving of oneself. More concern with others than them. The third one is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, we know that meekness is a representation of gentleness and kindness and submissiveness. Amen? That is an attitude of submission. An attitude of surrender. Amen? Is everybody with me? And verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, these are seekers, aren't they? And they desire to express Christ through them. That's a whole attitude, isn't it? They desire to express Christ through them because they're seekers. And they shall be filled. Some people wonder why they're not getting filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Ooh. Now listen, that's about forgiving, isn't it? They're merciful. They're forgiving. They're caring. Forgive and help when no one else will. They are forgiving and helping when no one else will. They go the extra mile. Everybody with me? They go the extra mile. Oh, let me tell you, God tests you on going that extra mile. Oh, man. And let me tell you, like I said, these are 8 declarations that describe the ideal disciple and his rewards. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, being honest. That's what being honest with oneself is about, a pure heart. They endure with patience and maintain Christ's character with joy. Hello? You know, one of the things I recognize and realize that this is not their home. This is not their home. This is just temporary. Because they know that glory awaits them. The true glory of the riches of God await them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. Oh, to God be the glory. Sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, one of the things that God is always asking us to be is a peacemaker, maintaining unity, doing whatever it takes to keep peace. I've shared this testimony before about driving down the road and this one guy was chasing another guy with a gun. Road rage. I mean, my wife and I were traveling. We were going through Atlanta on the highway there. I mean, you know how the highways are in Atlanta? I see this guy pull out a gun in his pickup truck chasing this other guy because I saw him cut him off. I'm going, oh, Lord. I told my wife to speed up and catch up to that truck. She didn't know what I was doing. The guy looked at me. I finally got eye to eye with him. And I told him, forget it. Forget it. And I think I lifted up the Bible. I don't remember exactly what was what. And I kept saying, it's not worth it. And the guy put down a gun and slowed his truck down. I said, thank you, Lord. And I kept hearing him telling me before we went after this guy, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. I said, you got it. I'm off. Gone. Okay, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, I told my wife she almost fainted because she really didn't know what was going on. I said, hurry, speed up to that car. She thought, well, is there something? And I share with her later, the guy had a gun and stuff. She goes, what are you, crazy? Yes. I'm crazy about Jesus. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, praise be to God. Verse 10. You know, the peacemakers stand for the love of God. They're willing to do whatever it takes to express God's love. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have no fear of man. They're not out to please men, they're out to please God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. These are individuals that are not trying to prove they're right, they want to stay right. Willing to do whatever it takes. They are God-pleasers and not man-pleasers. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whew. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, and your neighbors come against you and the city comes against you. Bless you. You're blessed. Hallelujah. You know, it was powerful. In the day that everything came against us, you know, we were walking outside and we began to just pray. And my wife and I looked up and there was a plane flying. And it was leaving a sign in the air. And it said, Jesus loves you. I said, praise you, Daddy. I got it. We're standing no matter what. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Blessed. And the Lord blessed us by enduring. He blessed us. Oh, hallelujah. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. Why? By fulfilling and walking in these eight declarations. Great is your reward in heaven. Great. See, so many times we get lost because we don't sense or feel or see a reward here on earth. But your rewards are in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Great! So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. No big deal. You will be persecuted too. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Salt is something that preserves. They use salt for preserving food. They used to sprinkle a lot of salt on it. Of no refrigeration, and they would keep it in salt and it would protect it and preserve it from rotting. You and I are preserving God's presence here on earth. Do you understand that? We're preserving the presence of the Lord. You know how many people that are believers who've walked away and no longer preserve the presence of God? That's why we're to be the salt of the earth. It says, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. By men. Amen. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be attitudes. Blessed attitudes. Amen? Amen. All praise be to God. Turn to Romans 14, please. Oh, hallelujah. Glorious. Shoo-wee. Glory. Attitude of gratitude. Praise God. Romans 14. Oh, and verse 16. 14:16, please. Would you read it with me? Hallelujah. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That sounds like a good attitude. Amen. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for what? Peace. And the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food or carnal desires. All things indeed are what? Pure. But it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Ooh, chihuahua. Offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now that's a form of attitude, isn't it? Offense is a form of attitude. But do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy. Happy. That means joy. Is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is what? Sin. Now I know he's talking about eating foods and so forth. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is an attitude. It is stolen by offense. When you become offended, you lose it. It is stolen from you. And the only thing that you want to do is retaliate in the flesh. What happens, offense moves you out of position and promotion. And also changes your attitude. When you are offended, your attitude is instantly changed. Does everybody understand that? Instantly. So what is the devil trying to do? Offend you. Why? Because he wants to change your attitude. Why? Because if you stay in that position, what are you doing? You're rejecting what? God's presence. Is everybody with me? That's how he... Listen, if it's our responsibility to know our enemy, and there's not enough teaching of recognition of knowing our enemy in the body of Christ. It's wonderful to be blessed. Praise God. Prosperity is of God. But people get offended when they're not. And the reason for this is because they're not walking in the right attitude. When there's an attitude of gratitude, when you are grateful, listen, no matter what is going on in your life, you must maintain gratefulness. Gratefulness. I don't care if you've lost everything. Look what happened to Job. Amen? Oh man, there's a brother that got tested. Hallelujah. And God blessed him big time. Used him too. See, your trials and tribulations, all of them, is allowing God to express himself through you. Christ's character to express himself through you to the world. Why? Because the world is going to react in another different way, aren't they? Compared to the way you're going to react. Now, let me ask you this. Is anxiety and stress an attitude? You got that right. Man, things are so not happening the way they're supposed to happen. Good attitude. Who's your trust in? It's in me. Ah! Is everybody with me? Come on now. We can laugh at this. It's okay to laugh at it, but learn from it. We got to learn from it. Why? Because that's the enemy. You got to know your enemy. He's always going to throw stress at you. He's always going to give you more than you can't handle. He's always going to stress you, no matter what he can do, and stretch you. Hello? Now, God's going to stretch you according to his way and will to give you more, you know, because he wants to make that bag bigger. Not you bigger, the bag bigger. Hello? Not your head bigger, the bag bigger. Go to Proverbs 17. Where are we at? Proverbs 17. Glory to God. Now, when you start looking at some of the goofiest things and the things that we really got sucked into, it's like, man, I can't believe I did that. What a bonehead I really was. You know? But that's okay. Just laugh at it, thank God, and go on. Maintain an attitude of gratitude. Proverbs 17. And verse, 22. Would you read it with me? A merry heart does good like medicine. Say it again. A merry heart does good like medicine. Come on, one more time. A merry heart does good like medicine. Now, isn't that an attitude? Amen. Now, look what the next one says. But a broken spirit dries the bones. Whoa. A miserable spirit will dry the bones. You know what that means? That's talking about your immune system. You. A broken spirit. Talking about drying the bones. What's in your bones? What produces there? Marrow, which produces what? Red blood cells. Amen? Produces blood cells, doesn't it? Amen? So anyways, we see that a merry heart does good like what?
Medicine.
So you've got a choice of what attitude you're going to walk in. And you know, your attitude is going to affect everybody else too. Depending where that individual is. See, the world, I mean, go, look how, you know, you go to work to the world, man, they're all miserable. They hate going to work. They hate it. I mean, they're just miserable. The only reason why they're going to work is because they're so much in debt. Because they thought that purchasing material things was going to help their attitude. And they were deceived. It was a temporary shift in attitude. Then they realized when they got their first 30 days was cool. Then they got the payment. Whoa, did the attitude change. Man, why did I buy this? Why did you let... Then they blame one another. Then they blame the person who sold it to them. Then they try and take it back or they just choose, I'm not paying for this. Then they get in trouble. Right? Then their credit gets bad. Then they blame everybody for all of their stuff. And that attitude just keeps building up, building up, building up. Building up and building up, and the devil is eating filet mignon right from you. Hello? Oh, praise God. A dinner of attitude. Joyful heart is good medicine. Romans 8. Gladius. And I always tell people, man, if you're miserable, go home. Don't tell nobody you're a believer. How you doing today? Well, I'm all right. Oh, man, go home. You definitely, you know, I'm telling you, oh, I'm okay. You're okay? Well, you better think about a year ago. You better start thinking back when you cried out for Jesus. I never lose sight. It's always before me. When I was alone, weeping and crying and asking God's help. I'll never forget being in this house, looking out that front window, crying, going into parks when I was like to be normal. Hallelujah. No matter what happens, no matter, there isn't any, I couldn't lose any more than what I lost. I mean, It has nothing to do with that. But at that period of time, well, everything I looked at was loss. Now, that has nothing to do with my attitude. My only attitude changes when I'm combating the devil, because I hate that little low rent. Amen. Who keeps messing up with everybody's attitude? Hallelujah. Righteous hatred. Romans chapter 8. Man, it really... Oh. I see people get out of position. I'm like, man! I get angry at the devil. Then I want to slap the soul out of the person for being so stupid. After you get all the knowledge here, you better start using it. In verse 5. Hallelujah. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the what? Things of the flesh. What an attitude. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is bad attitude. Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. Okay, the first attitude we need to remove is that last word attitude. It's associated with arrogance and pride. The second one is the woe is me attitude. Woe is me. Put someone on the fire, baby. Go outside and fix my flat tire. The car ran over my dog. And my wife shot my neighbor. Oh, woe is me. A lot of people with woe is me, is they have a lot of low self-esteem. Very low self-esteem. Woe is me. The third one is a covetousness attitude. Everything belongs to me. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Ay, 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 ay. Covetousness attitude. The fourth one is a criticizing attitude and judgmental. The association with this is the fear of being wrong. Criticizing and judgmental. Fear of being wrong. Everybody got them? The fifth one we need to remove is a manipulating attitude. An individual that's manipulating does not trust God will provide. Does not trust God will provide. The sixth one is an offensive attitude. That's an individual that no matter what you try to do or say or whatever, they always think everybody's after me. It's an offensive attitude. Everybody's after me. And the seventh one is an hardened attitude. Unforgiving and bitter. Their heart is hardened. Hardened attitude. Now these are just seven of them that I just brought up that we need to remove. When we talked about the Beatitudes, the blessed attitudes, there was eight of them. Eight meaning what? New beginnings. Amen? Seven meaning what? Complete and perfect. Good. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Did everybody get those? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. So you've been lied to. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the truth or the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into what? Captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. So it's our responsibility to bring these thoughts into captivity. How do you want to change your attitude? You take that thought into captivity. You grab it, choke it, hold on to it, till the mind of Christ gets manifested. Then you take it. Now you know what to do with it, don't you? First of all, grab it and shut it up. Why? So it doesn't affect your attitude. Grab that thing and muzzle it, choke it so it can't breathe. And where its eyeballs start to pop. Just hold that thing. Why? It ain't nothing but a demon. Right? And you just hold it. And then you cast down those thoughts and imaginations and up to the obedience. And you say, listen, this thing's going to be obedient to Christ. And being ready to what? Punish. Hallelujah. Poke its eyes out, man. Do something dangerous to this lie. Don't pet it. Don't feed it. Don't admire it. And don't hug it. It'll kill you. Hallelujah. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Your obedience is to choke it. Till you know what to do with it. Amen? Then bury that thing. Glory to God. Send it right where it's supposed to go. Cast down these thoughts. Amen? Go to Psalm 34. Oh, hallelujah. We need to start taking some dominion and kick butt. So that the beatitudes, the blessed attitudes can be expressed through us. Psalm 34. Whoa. You know, we need to practice this and put an attitude of praise, thanks, and gratefulness. It takes practice. So don't cop an attitude if you don't do it right the first time. Right? Starting in verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. Man, you know, if you're constantly blessing the Lord at all times, you're not going to pick up no other attitude. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. Hello? My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and what? Be glad. Well, they're going to be glad because you got a good attitude. Man, what are you so happy about? Praise God, I just lost my car today. Hallelujah. This dude's sick. Amen. I'm not from here, brother. I'm not from here. Hallelujah. The humble shall hear of it and what? Be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. And attitudes. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his what? Troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who what? Fear him, or reverence him, or bless him. And he what? He delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, and there is no what? Want to those who fear him. In other words, you know he's your provider. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I'll tell you the fear of the Lord. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from a bad attitude, from evil, and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? And pursue it. What are we doing? Practicing praise, thanks, and gratefulness. Go to Psalm 37. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Not too far away from 34. First 8 verses, would you read it with me? Do not fret because of what? In other words, don't be jealous. Don't be, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's cool. Nor be what? Envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. You know, we're supposed to be fed from His faithfulness. You're supposed to eat His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because it'll be His desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. This sounds like all the Beatitudes, doesn't it? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. So you might as well have a good attitude. Psalm 50. Hallelujah. Verse 22 and 23. Praise be to God. Is everybody all right? How y'all doing tonight? Hallelujah. Now consider this, you who forgot God or forget, lest I tear you in pieces. I love this. Sounds like some of the people I knew at home. That's like tear you in pieces. Because you forgot. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, he says. And to him who orders his conduct aright, hello, or to him who orders his attitude aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Did you get it? Are you getting it? You're going to practice it. You're going to use it. Tonight? Good. 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 8, everybody there? Praise God. Read it with me. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Hallelujah. Beatitude, blessed attitude, attitude of gratitude. Practice it, use it, and let Christ manifest himself through you. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed, Lord. Thank you for our trials and tribulations, Lord. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Thank you for your faithfulness, and we feed on your faithfulness, Father. We feed on it. Continue to guide us. Continue to expose the enemy and expose the enemy using us, Lord. Remove any scales that have been put upon us, Lord, or any corruptible seeds that have been imparted in us. And let every one of these ungodly attitudes be removed from us, that the attitude of Christ and the kingdom of God will be manifested through us for you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.